So how is the beach?
Beach Lovely. Is good.
Yeah, what, it's there. What part of the beach are we in?
I don't know.
We're in Myrtle
the one
Beach,
with the water.
South Myrtle, though.
South Myrtle, okay. Welcome. Getting close to like You're Surfside area.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right on.
Right near the commons.
The water's pretty. The weather's rather mild. There's a nice little breeze.
How is the pollen?
Better than it is here.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty thick here. The yellow invasion of pollen particles has begun.
We did seem to find the dog-friendly part of the beach because there were several people walking their dogs this morning. Beautiful. Lovely.
Well, this is not a mini vacation podcast. This is Cinema Chop Shop. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop, a movie podcast where we concede that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
Big Trouble in Little Travis.
Okay, that's pretty good. And I will be your host, and I'm joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host, co-producer, Bone Shaunahawk, a.k.a. the Brew Boss. And we are also extremely excited to welcome back to the show a returning guest here for mostly color commentary today. It is Sean's lovely wife, Allie, a.k.a. Miracalli.
Okay.
Further description of the show, the tagline at the top says Watch, Chop, Retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes they're classic films with iconic actors, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts, a.k.a. contemporary actors who are at the height of their powers. Drink. And... quick disclaimer, we are not actually in favor of remake, reboot, sequel-dependent culture. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony, and we try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
So with that, we will go ahead and move it into our first mini-segment. This is called Movie News, and this is kind of a roundup of current news stories that deal with the world of movies and cinema, so on and so forth. The first one that kind of came across our radar, I believe, is the trailer for a movie called Charlie Says came out, and it is a new biopic about Charles Manson, who seems to be real hot right now in movies. You got the Quentin Tarantino movie coming out, too, and something another Sharon Tate thing, I believe.
And this one appears to be more about the girls,
okay,
the family.
And the director is the same director as American Psycho.
Correct.
And is that a female director?
It is.
I think it is. And it'll be her return to film.
But the big takeaway from it is that Matt Smith.
Matt Smith, not Adam Smith. That's
the
right.
Doctor.
That's
from
why
Doctor
I didn't know
Who.
Who you were talking about.
And he is a surprising dead ringer.
Yeah, for Charles Manson. So Matt Smith, not Adam Smith, former... Doctor Who. He was like the Doctor maybe three Doctors ago.
He's the one immediately following Tennant.
Okay. And so he's going to play the role of Charles Manson. And I saw some of the pictures, and you're right. It's a good casting. On a darker note, the college admission scandal broke this week. And several upper echelon celebrities, including some actors, television and film, as well as some other kind of bigwig people, about 50 in all, got indicted on charges involving cheating on college admission exams.
Yep, fraud.
Bribes paid to college admission people, bribes paid to recruiters, having people outright take the tests for them or change their answers. And two of the big names that were netted in this operation, it was called Operation Varsity Blues, by the way, were Felicity Huffman, who is married to William H. Macy.
Correct.
And
was his name brought up, too?
No, I didn't see his name brought up.
Not which really, which is interesting.
Which makes me wonder what their present status is.
Yeah. And then also Aunt Becky from Full House.
Lori Loughlin
was in there as well. And did you know that her husband is the guy from Mossimo, the Mossimo clothing brand?
Oh, really?
Her husband is Mossimo. So that's a big scandal that's going down, and it will probably further develop as details emerge. On a brighter note, Taika Waititi is a New Zealand director who... did Thor Ragnarok. He also has done some things with the dudes from Flight of the Conchords. He is going to be adapting Time Bandits, a remake of Terry Gilliam's bizarro Time Bandits, which we know on the show we're not really in favor of remakes, but if anybody is going to attempt a remake of a Terry Gilliam movie, I think tapping Taika Waititi is a pretty good choice. And then, Sean, I'm going to let you, we buried the lead on this one, so I'm going to let you roll with our biggest story.
Yeah, this one just broke today.
Breaking news.
The formerly fired director of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, James Gunn, is back on the docket to direct Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
And they were, at least prior to this, they were still planning on using his screenplay, but now he's back at the helm, which is interesting because... and I don't want to really take a firm stance on this, but of all the people who have been kind of brought down or taken down from the Me Too movement, the things that he said were some of the least damaging things, I think.
I agree, and I will never know what brought on his return, but I you've got to speculate that some of the buzz about him being on Suicide Squad really... chapped Marvel's ass.
I could see that. Also, all of his colleagues from Guardians of the Galaxy, the entire main cast,
there was a lot of solidarity
there.
They
all made statements supporting him. So that's really interesting. Any other big stories? This is not related to movies, but it is related to New Zealand. There was just a mass shooting in New Zealand. So we are sending our sympathies to the people there. All right, so that will wrap us up on movie news and move it into our next segment, which I believe I hear that phone ringing right now. That must be Chief Corrections Officer Dana with the Department of Corrections Department.
Good day, choppers. You didn't give me a whole lot to work with here, so this is going to be quick and easy. The original Diabolique came out in 1955, and I believe the word that Travis was looking for in terms of a sheep field is a pasture. May I be the first one to wish Sean La Breja Sonaguich, because I know your birthday's coming up on Sunday. Happy birthday! See you next time.
All right. Thank you, Dana, for that. We really have been model prisoners here, and we appreciate the recognition for that. And it's funny that you brought up that it's Sean's birthday coming up this Sunday. It's probably about when this episode is going to go kerplunk. And it's also St. Patrick's Day coming up, which is pretty cool. And March 17th, this Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, Sean's birthday, is also the upcoming 68th birthday of the man of the hour, the theme of the episode, one Kurt Russell.
Sean's not quite 68 yet.
Not quite, but we are just now discovering that you have the same birthday as Kurt Russell. That was kind of...
I knew I liked him.
A happy coincidence.
He could be your dad.
Wait a minute. Are you and Wyatt Russell brothers? Ooh. Bros? Bros from... different Goldie Hoes.
Show me that money.
All right. So films of Kurt Russell. A lot of really great ones come to mind. Of course, Captain Ron is up there. One of my favorite sci-fis when I was a kid, Stargate. He was really good in that. And I know that gets panned now, but I liked it a lot. What are some of your favorites?
I like, as you referenced, I like Miracle. I thought that was a really good adaptation of the Dream Miracle on Ice team.
Miracle on Ice.
I very much approve of that movie and that nickname for me. Thank you.
You and I were talking about this earlier in the week. Kurt Russell has done almost every kind of movie.
Right.
And he's done
every
genre. And he's done them well. Westerns, comedy, action, drama, romance.
Ooh, Unlawful Entry with Madeline Stowe and Ray Liotta. That's another good one.
Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash. Nice. So yeah, we're gonna be talking about some of the movies of Kurt Russell and kind of celebrating his upcoming birthday. All right. So with that, we will move it into our next segment, which is the Midnight Double Feature. And this one is where we go around the panel and we talk about two films that are within the subject of the episode, being Kurt Russell movies, or movies that are related to Kurt Russell. And we talk about how they're related to each other and why they would warrant being shown back to back in a public forum like a double feature. So I will go ahead and go first with mine because I am cracking the mold on this segment this week. I am going with a triple feature. Some people may know that early in his acting career, Kurt Russell signed a 10-year deal with Disney and in that time made about 8 pictures with them. But 3 of those movies, he played the same character. In 3 of those movies, he played the same character. The character's name was Dexter. And I had his last name just a second ago. But the character's name is Dexter. And he's in the first movie, it's called The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. He is kind of a run-of-the-mill college student, not really standing out in any way. He's popular, gets into some hijinks every now and then. Really likes his science program and his science professor. And one thing leads to another. He ends up getting zapped by the computer. And that's the sound that it made when he got zapped. And he ends up getting a computer-like brain and tours the world as the smartest man and goes on quiz shows. And they have some really wonky special effects where they zoom in on his eyeball and it's just like circuitry. It's just like pictures of little diodes blinking and stuff. It's pretty funny.
His name's Dexter Riley.
Dexter Riley, thank you. So then that movie came out in 1969, and I'm going to follow that up with the sequel. It's called Now You See Him, Now You Don't. And the same character, Dexter Riley, happens upon a invisibility potion. And as you would guess, one thing leads to another. And after a few hijinks in that regard, the potion falls into the wrong hands, and so they have to resolve that conflict. Then finally, the third one came out in 1975, and it's called The Strongest Man in the World. And pretty formulaic with all three of these movies. Something happens to him, gives him tremendous powers in one way or another. In this case, it's a strength formula. And you pour it in cereal, and the cereal starts to fizz, and then smoke comes out of your nose, and you're suddenly, but temporarily, incredibly strong. So yeah, it was fun. I watched these over the past few days. The triple feature of Dexter Riley movies from Disney, The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, Now You See Him, Now You Don't, and The Strongest Man in the World.
That's great.
So there we go.
I knew that he did the Disney flicks. Uh-huh. I've never seen any of those, nor do I... They were unknown to me.
I hadn't really either. I had never seen any of these three. Probably not many of the others either. But I figured what better reason to delve into those than the Kurt Russell episode.
What's your overall opinion?
Okay, so overall, I think that if you're just wanting to see a young Kurt Russell, like before he really figured out his acting style, and like I said, they're just fun movies. They're not award-winning pictures by any means. In fact, they're very campy. Oh, I should also mention that the villain, the recurring villain, is played by Cesar Romero.
Oh, lovely.
So it's kind of got that Batman the TV show quality of campiness.
Okay.
And all of the main characters reprise their roles. The Dean, the bad guy businessman, Dexter, of course, his main group of friends, and the science professor.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, I'm going to take it a little bit of a darker turn.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about some of Kurt Russell's sci-fi slash action adventure type films. First off, 1981's Escape from New York.
Love it.
Probably one of his most iconic characters he played.
Snake Plissken. Plissken.
It was directed by John Carpenter, also written by John Carpenter, as well as Nick Castle. Starts Kurt Russell, Lee Van Cleef.
Okay.
Of spaghetti western fame.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
As well as Ernest Borgnine. It's in 1997 in the future.
Nice.
When the U.S. president crashes into Manhattan, now a giant maximum security prison, a convicted bank robber, he's sent to rescue him from the city, and they've got to, as the title tells you, escape from New York.
Very good.
And I'm following that up with another John Carpenter directed film. This is probably my favorite Kurt Russell movie, The Thing from 1982. Okay. This is a remake of an old sci-fi.
Right.
It's a notable film, mostly for its practical effects. Mm-hmm. That were, and I've mentioned this before, if you go back several hundred episodes.
Yeah.
I mentioned it on a movie check-in, and that was the fact that a lot of the visuals from this film were reused and echoed in the video game horror genre of these hellhound-type beasts.
Yeah.
And it's also stars Wilford Brimley, Keith David.
Okay, not David
Keith. Not David Keith. And it's a research station in Antarctica. They're hunted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of its victims. Mm-hmm. So they never know who's who and what's what. So it's a lot of mistrust among friends.
As you would expect.
And a fight for survival. And it's cool.
It is very cool.
The mood and the atmospherics are great. Allie, I think, laughed at some of the special effects. But
of course.
Being 1982 and all practical effects, I thought they were great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a solid movie and a cult classic. All right, so that's pretty cool. A John Carpenter, Kurt Russell double feature. All right,
Allie? I'm going for straight up just camp and ridiculousness.
Okay.
So we've got Big Trouble in Little China.
Very nice.
Because I can't
think
of Kurt Russell and not think of that movie. Mm-hmm. That's when I picture Kurt Russell, that's the movie that comes to mind. And then I would pair that with Overboard, which I also think is very fun. And he's paired up, of course, with his wife, Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
Now, there are some problems with this film, especially today.
Yep.
Certainly could not be made again because for those of you who don't know, this woman, a wealthy woman, falls overboard from a ship. She has amnesia. Kurt Russell claims her and brings her home to his home.
Tells her that
she's his wife and brings her home to raise his children. So that's a little problematic as a storyline, but she started out as this rich bitch and then gets in touch with her empathetic, more human side. So that's her journey, but it's a little sketch how it starts.
I think Big Trouble in Little China has some problems these days.
Oh, it does as well. Neither one could be made today.
Connective tissue between the two.
Yes. Neither could be made today because Big Trouble in Little China, of course, many racist overtones as far as, you know, Asians, racial stereotypes and things like that. So they couldn't be made today, but if you can take them in the context of when they were made, they're still a lot of fun to watch.
So I understand what you're saying about the two of these having their problems and how they couldn't be made today, but they did just this past year remake Overboard.
They did?
They did, and I'm pretty sure Anna Faris is in it, and I think that they did a gender flop on the roles. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to watch it because Overboard's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
I would have paired it with Captain Ron.
I think those two the boat connection.
Captain Ron, such a great over-the-top performance.
But, you know, if I was going to recast Goldie Hawn, Anna Faris is someone I would. Mm-hmm. But if they're gender switching, then that isn't what it would be. But
and I'm pretty sure that
unless
the
rich
male
guy that falls
lead
over.
Is a Hispanic guy in this movie as well.
I'm curious to see that, but I didn't even know that happened.
All right, very good. Will that
I'm just
going to
sit here and drink my tequila sunrise.
On our midnight double triple feature.
I like it.
All right. So with that, we'll go ahead and go into our feature segment. That's called the recast. And that's where we take one of the movies in his filmography, that being Kurt Russell's filmography, and we talk about how it would be remade today and who would play a few of the lead roles in the movie. And the first movie that we're gonna be recasting is one that I had never seen before, and I really wasn't very familiar with. It's from 1986, and it was directed by, this is hard to say, Roger Spottiswood.
Yeah,
Roger Spottiswood.
I think you're pretty close.
It's got a 33% on Rotten Tomatoes. He also directed Tomorrow Never Dies, the James Bond, Pierce Brosnan movie.
Hmm.
Also, he directed Turner and Hooch.
Oh.
And Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh,
so
wow.
Some heavy hitters there. But the movie we're talking about is called The Best of Times. The Best of Times stars Robin Williams and Kurt Russell, probably both at the height of their being able to call the shots. And then also Pamela Reed is going to be the third role that we're recasting. So Robin Williams plays Jack Dundee, and he is a he has a lot of regret. He's a kind of nerdy character, middle age, approaching middle age, and his biggest regret is the high school football game where they played the crosstown rivals, and
he's obsessed.
He dropped the pass.
He's obsessed with this failure.
Kurt Russell was also on that team. He was their quarterback.
Reno
Hightower, such a perfect quarterback name. And he's pretty much moved on at this point. He's got a
customizes vans.
He's a van specialist, and he's got a shop, but he is a little bit behind on the mortgage payments for that shop.
And he just can't seem to get his wife's car fixed.
His wife being Gigi Hightower, who was played by Pamela Reed. And the whole time I was watching this, I kept looking at her, and I was like, where do I know her from? And I looked at her filmography, and I didn't recognize a lot of the movies, but then I looked at television, and she played Mrs. Nope, Leslie Nope's mom, on the TV show Parks and Recreation. So yeah, that's the basic premise of this. Am I right, Sean? We've got some guys who are trying to replay.
Robin Williams. He wants to redeem himself. Uh-huh. He wants to have a rematch with the team. His father-in-law.
His wife goads him into it.
Well, no, his wife doesn't want him to. She wants him to get over it.
Right.
And who was the one that said, tell me one reason why you can't replay the game?
I don't know. Mm. But his father-in-law is his boss at the bank.
Yeah.
As well as the coach of the crosstown rival team, Bakersfield.
Bakersfield, California.
And so it's super important to him to have this match and then redeem himself. And so through a bunch of chicanery, he manages to pull it together. Well, at one point he dons the rival's mascot costume and sabotages a whole bunch of shit around town to really raise the ire of everybody and get them on board. So it's a little contrived.
Yeah.
Do you think? Just a touch?
Just a little.
Just a touch.
All right.
So should we go ahead and get into recasting it?
I think so, yes.
Okay. So first up, we've got Robin Williams, who was 35 at the time, and he played Jack Dundee. And Sean, would you like to go first with yours?
Sure. I will go with an up-and-coming actor. He is 35 as well, and he was... had a small part in Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Okay.
Oscar-nominated film.
Melissa McCarthy.
He is on The Good Place, the television show. And most recently, he was in the Rebel Wilson film, Isn't It Romantic? And his name is Brandon Scott Jones.
Brandon Scott Jones. Okay. Now, The Good Place, is that the one with Ted Danson and... Uh-huh. Sarah Marshall?
No. Is Sarah Marshall in it? It's
The Good Place.
The actress. Yeah. What's her name?
No, the little blonde that loves sloths.
Kristen Bell.
Yes, Kristen Bell.
She's Sarah Marshall.
She's Sarah Marshall.
And then...
used an actor name and a character name.
The Good Wife and The Good Doctor. There's a lot of The Good shows.
They love the good stuff.
Oh, now there's The Good Fight.
Oh, yep. Jesus.
All right.
Buy an adjective.
I think that's the spinoff from The Good Wife.
All right, that's my pick.
Sounds good. All right, so for my Jack Dundee, it's really difficult thinking about recasting or replacing Robin Williams because he was such a gigantic figure in movies and comedy, and rest in peace to Robin Williams. He will very much be missed. But I was trying to think of a comedic actor. So my actor is a little bit older. He's 38 now. His major film credit is a movie called Brother Nature from 2016. But he was also on Mad TV, and he's on the current cast of Saturday Night Live. His name is Mikey Day.
Mikey Day.
Mikey Day is going to be my Jack Dundee for all of the reasons I just mentioned.
Sounds good to me.
All right, moving it on to Reno Hightower. If there's not a Hightower Hotel in Reno, Nevada, there needs to be. And he was played by Kurt Russell, and he was 35 at the time. And I will go first with mine. This was kind of a no-brainer for me. It's a little bit face value with the character, but also somebody who really looks like they could have played football or could possibly play again, even though they're not in high school anymore. And he was in a movie called Step Up, I believe it's pronounced. He's also in a movie called Dear John and Magic Michael. Magic Michael, his name is Channing Tatum.
Magic Michael.
Channing Tatum is going to be my Reno Hightower.
I like that. That's good. I went with an actor who's also 35 years old, and he was in most recently a TV series called Mosaic. He was in Tron Legacy,
okay.
The sequel to Tron. He played the young Sam Flynn.
Gotcha.
But he was most recently, for you and me at least, in an underrated film that you and I both liked. He was in Mudbound.
Oh, Mudbound's good.
As Jamie McAllen, the guy who befriended the African-American guy, Garrett Hedlund.
Okay.
Garrett
Hedlund. Yeah, I recognize him. Is he also in that new Shane Black Predators movie? No, I might be getting him mixed up with somebody. He looks very familiar.
I do not see him in a Predator.
Okay. All right.
Predator?
Oh, what did they call the most recent
whatever one? Whatever it Predator. Was. Failure. That's what I call
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
By the
any
way,
thoughts so far? Yeah, Alex.
The Hightower Hotel is the name of the hotel at the Tower of Terror in Disneyland, Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
There's not one in Reno.
Interesting. Okay.
Thanks for that off-the-cuff research.
You're welcome.
Very good. All right, so we've got one more.
Yes.
That is Gigi Hightower, who is Kurt Russell's wife. The scene where she's telling him to clean up the place, clean up the yard, that was a little bit overwhelming. There was a lot of messy stuff in that yard.
Yeah.
So you could understand her point of view, wanting him to literally and figuratively get his shit together. All right, so... my pick for Pamela Reed is an actress who's 36 now. Haven't seen her in much lately. She's primed for a comeback, and this could be just the vehicle for her. She was in a movie called The Girl Next Door, and she was also Jack Bauer's daughter in the TV show 24. I'm going with Elisha Cuthbert. Is it Elisha?
Elisha Cuthbert.
Elisha yes. Cuthbert is going to be my Gigi Hightower.
I always liked her.
Yeah.
I know. I haven't seen or heard much of her lately.
I've heard some people make mention that she's one of those hard to get along with on the set people.
Gotcha.
Which may mean maybe tell out why she's not on stuff.
Turns out she's actually Kiefer Sutherland's daughter.
No.
She's not a very Gigi.
All right. So my pick is also 35 years old.
Okay.
And she was in Game of Thrones with the character Asha.
Hmm.
She was in About a Boy back in the day. But most people will know her from her stint in Harry Potter films as Nymphadora Tonks. Her name is Natalia Tena.
Oh, okay,
Natalia Tena.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good pick. Cool. All right, well, those are our recasts for The Best of Times. Should we go ahead and decide or say whether or not we would recommend this movie?
Sure.
What do you think?
I was not terribly amused with it. I would say it's a pass for me.
It's a pass for you. Okay. I'm not really fallen pass fail or I'm on the fence with this one, but I will say that seeing Robin Williams and Kurt Russell in the same movie was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't believe they ever worked together besides this.
How many movies about fallen sports heroes do we need?
Oh, never too many. Never too many. We've got a Super Bowl episode to do every year. So. Superb Owl. All right. So that will go ahead and bring us into the end of the recast part one and into intermission. But not before we say,
let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and rustle up some snacks.
Get it, Kurt Russell? See what we did there?
I get it.
All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis. And I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under-reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it. And multiply
a Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. you folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show, don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
And we're back. Thank you, Chop Shoppers, for bearing with us during the intermission. And when we come back from intermission, we like to do a beer check-in. So, Sean, you were telling me that we have a somewhat on-theme beer?
Yes, this is from Fonta Flora. It is a Flanders-inspired sour ale.
Okay.
It's called Float the Stars.
Float the Stars.
And since Kurt Russell recently played the planet Ego in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I thought that Float the Stars was a aptly named beer for his episode.
I like it. I like it. All right, I want to taste that.
It's a Flanders.
Yeah, it is. All right. Sour. And with that, we will go into our next mini segment, which is the 2019 movie marathon. And Sean, tell us what the movie marathon entails.
So you and I try to watch at least 365 movies over the course of 365 days, checking them in on Twitter using the hashtag 2019 movie marathon.
Correct. And you check those in on your Twitter handle, which is @awindowlessvan.
That's correct.
And I check mine in on the Cinema Chop Shop Twitter handle. It's just @CinemaChopShop.
And Sean routinely kicks Travis's ass
That's true. That's true.
No, stop it. It's not a race.
It's a marathon. Wait. It's not. So it is the 74th day of the year as of this recording. I'm on number 77. I picked up a few over the past week. And Sean, tell them what you're on.
I'm on number 90.
Son of a bitch! All right. So today, the first one that I'm going to check in is one that Mark mentioned on last week's episode. It's a documentary. It's available on Netflix right now, and it's called Behind the Curve. Behind the Curve is a documentary about the current conspiracy theory that the world is actually flat, and the people who believe that bullshit, and they're called flat earthers. So my official review, what did I say here? I said, hilarious but also sad documentary about fools who want something to not believe in.
Well, so, described.
Sean, you had something else to add about Flat Earth, right?
Yeah, we were talking about it this morning. You know, the main guy in the documentary went to great lengths of mapping out the Flat Earth, explaining how it all lays out
right
as we know it, and the Earth as we know it, and he explains how it's flat, and he shows, you know, in his model, the sun and the moon kind of overhead doing this dance with us.
Okay.
But he never explains what causes this moon and Earth rotation around us. Right. Never, ever is this
never
explained.
Mentions orbit.
Nor does he explain how gravity works in a flat Earth.
Right. Or why half of the time it's dark and half of the time it's light.
Well, that's because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just pure silliness. But anyway, I watched it too. And I was surprised to learn that the Flat Earthers Convention was in Raleigh.
Oh, cool.
Which is nearby. And I plan on attending if they ever do it again.
That's awesome.
Because I really, really want to meet some of these people up close and personal.
Very good. All right. What's your first check-in going to be today?
I'm going to check in a Kurt Russell film that I did not know about until this week.
Okay.
It's called The Art of the Steal.
Art of the Steal, okay.
2013 film with Kurt Russell, Matt Dillon, Jay Baruchel.
Oh, nice.
And
he's from Canada.
He's from Canada, Andrew. And a few other guys. It's a fun heist movie with plenty of switcheroo backstabbing.
It's not a baseball movie?
No, it is it is a heist film.
Okay.
And
art heists.
It's art heist, and it pays to know your art history and your museums.
Cool.
Because that plays heavily into the plot.
I've heard of this, but I've not seen it.
It's fun. I think you can see it on either Tubi or Prime.
Okay.
Amazon Prime. So yeah, there you go.
All right. Next up for me is number 70, Mary Poppins Returns, from 2018.
What's poppin', Mary?
Exactly. So Michelle and I watched this together, and it was a perfectly enjoyable movie. And I actually said that my girl,
Emily Blunt,
turns in a high caliber rendition of the character. Yeah. The nods to the original only supplement the fact that it's a very enjoyable movie in its own right.
Apparently there was a little bit of controversy, I think, from a misunderstanding from the film, because the chimney sweeps having soot all over their faces, there were some people that were misinterpreted as blackface that weren't understanding the concept that they were just dirty from their
job. Just stick your head in the chimney, folks.
And also,
so that was a little, and so I don't know, that didn't seem to gain much traction, but it was just a little moment of
There discussion. Was also some confusion about when Angela Lansbury shows up in the movie, and a bunch of kids were like, is that the original Mary Poppins? And it's like, no, but I can see why you would think that. She was, of course, in a similar movie, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That also involved the combination of animation and live action. Yeah, so that's going to be my number 70.
We forgot to do recommendations.
You're right.
Okay. Something that Marco has turned us on to.
I do recommend watching
Frequent
Behind
guest Marco.
The Curve and watching Mary Poppins Returns. I'll recommend it for a date movie.
Okay. I'll recommend Art of the Steal if you just want to see a fun heist movie.
Okay.
And possibly a Kurt Russell movie you've never seen before.
Okay.
It's perfectly passable. My next flick, as I continue my hype of the Criterion Channel.
Yeah.
This is their free movie of the week for the founding members. It's called For All Mankind. It's a 1989 documentary about the Apollo missions to the moon.
Ah, okay.
And it's narrated by the astronauts themselves.
That's cool.
And the footage is all straight from their stuff and what was filmed during. The soundtrack is by Brian Eno. So it was very nice atmospheric soundtrack.
So it's fiction.
Fiction. Total fiction. Speaking of flat earthers, yes. I was really struck by the global attitude of the astronauts.
Okay.
It wasn't the American space race for them. It was...
All mankind.
They were doing this for everybody. They were doing this to just move humankind further along. And even that, there was this total lack of ego amongst the astronauts. Several of them all said, I can't fly this ship. I can't land this ship. But the thing that I know how to do, I do it well. I know how to do my one thing, and by God, I'm going to do it right. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them, that's the way they look at it. It's not...
like a well-oiled machine.
Exactly. They're just a part in the machine, and if they don't do their part, then this doesn't succeed. And that really... was kind of an inspirational kind of message that, this is a total recommend for me. I say watch it just so you can get some perspective of what it means to do something that's larger than yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. All right. My last one that I will check in today is unfortunately not going to be a recommend. Even though I like both of the actors in it, it is, the newest collab between John C. Reilly and
Will Ferrell.
And Will Ferrell. And it's called Holmes and Watson. And it's a comedic take on the Arthur Conan Doyle characters. But what I actually said about it was pretty terrible, but not without its chuckles. I mean, obviously, you get those two together on the same set, you're going to find some funny stuff. You could tell that they were going for a body Monty Python style. And it just didn't quite land. So not a recommendation from me, unfortunately.
And that's just sad because I always want anything John C. Reilly right. is in to do well because he's one of my favorite
he's
actors.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, I know he's doing fine, but I think that his serious roles are stronger, but everybody wants to see him do comedy because he's great at it normally. And so I'm sad to hear that it didn't do as well, but I know that he's doing just fine and we'll keep seeing him.
I believe the next thing we'll see him in is Stan and Ollie. The Laurel yes. and Hardy biopic, which I think that they're taking a little bit more seriously, the filmmakers. Okay, so we will go ahead and...
Oh, I got one more.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had done three.
No,
go ahead.
I'm just pouring you a beer.
Thanks, man.
So, sorry.
Yeah, Travis is getting on this kick of forgetting
oh, yeah.
to no. let
last week
the co-host do things.
It's my old age.
Oh, child.
All right, so my final check-in will be Captain Marvel.
Okay, yeah.
Because there's quite a bit of controversy swirling around mm-hmm. this and people's perception and reviews. Our frequent guest, Jacob Suggs, mm-hmm. he was one of the people who said he did not care for it. He had an issue with the pacing, but he also had issue with the character development, and he felt that Brie Larson didn't have enough to work with.
Right.
I will agree with him. I think the pacing was pretty laborious in the first two acts. There was a lot of long establishing shots, especially walking down hallways right. and things like that. But once the action kicked in, I thought it was pretty decent.
And you were saying that the science fiction portions of it were...
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think that this character will play well with Guardians of the Galaxy
okay.
down the line. I think yeah. you could see those two appearing in each other's films. I like the women empowering aspect of the film. I think right. it's overdue in Marvel's flicks. And I think the story of Nick Fury and how he lost his eye was kind of
okay.
a letdown for me. But if you're into the superhero movies, if you're into the Marvel Universe movies, it's a watch. I'm hitting that burnout stage with,
gotcha.
With them.
Gotcha.
And I watched this with Sean, and I enjoyed it, I think, more than he did. I do admit that I did get completely sucked into the girl power aspect
okay.
and the montage where they said, you're just a human, and that's the little montage of her standing up every time she got knocked down. I totally got sucked in by that moment.
Gotcha.
Had a little tear. But I mean, could it have been better? Yes, but I think that overall it was a good movie, and I think that she does stand her ground. I think that seeing her character develop more, I think, will be good. I think the whole memory loss, I think part of the storyline hampered some of that character development.
I haven't seen it yet. Right?
At the end, when she starts to kind of come into herself more, you can see that her just beginning to find that personality.
Okay.
And,
cool.
Well, I'm excited
I have
to see
not
her
seen it yet,
again.
But I do plan on watching.
I think Ben Mendelsohn stole the show. He's the head Skrull, and he really kind of wins the film for me.
He did a great TV show called Bloodline that Michelle and I are watching right now. Just a really great performance from him and everybody on the show. All right, so now we will finish up the movie marathon. Be sure to check out all of our check-ins on Twitter. And with that, we will go ahead and move it into the final segment, which is the recast continued.
Part two.
Redux. The sequel.
Oh, boy, we really screwed that one up. Sorry, everybody.
And
it's not the final segment, by the way.
Oh, well, that's a bonus segment. this is our next feature segment.
There you go.
The recast continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Redux.
And movie number two comes to us from 1988. And it was directed by a guy named Robert Towne, who I was talking earlier off mic, was known as kind of a script doctor. And if you look at his filmography on Wikipedia or IMDb, you've got all these writing credits, like dozens of writing credits of some pretty big movies like Chinatown, The Two Jakes, other movies that don't star Jack Nicholson. And next to all of them, it says uncredited, 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 uncredited consultant. One of them, he was actually using a fake name. So he was one of these guys who they brought in to fix scripts. All right, and so the movie is called Tequila Sunrise. Tequila Sunrise.
Allie is drinking a Tequila Sunrise.
Keeping it on theme, yeah. And so we've got a real love triangle situation in this movie. You've got a former drug dealer who's trying to go straight, and he's played by Mel Gibson. His name is Dale McCusick. McCusick. And he has interest in a local restaurateur played by Michelle Pfeiffer, whose name is Joanne Vallinari. And then we also have this former drug dealer's lifelong friend, who just so happens to be a lieutenant detective in the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Nick Freja, who was played by Kurt Russell.
Oh no, what a conflict.
Yeah. And thanks, Sally. And then finally, the last role that we're going to recast in this movie is the role of Comandante Xavier Escalante. He's also Escalante. He is the head of the Mexican Federal Police.
The Federales.
And so there's... Even though Lieutenant Nick and Mac are old friends, Kurt Russell's character still has to investigate because he feels duty-bound and would be sure to take Mel Gibson's character in if he should happen to...
And Escalante is played by...
He's played by Raul Julia.
The late, great Raul Julia.
And the DEA is involved, putting pressure on Kurt Russell's character, and there's also promotion on the line. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Kurt couldn't look any douchier on the poster.
Yeah, he's got really slicked back hair and douchebag shades.
He's got the late 80s
his stunner blockers,
Gordon Gekko kind of thing going on.
And also the love triangle comes into play because as Kurt Russell is looking into, as Lieutenant Nick Freisha is looking into McCusick's possible delving back into drug dealing, he falls for Michelle Pfeiffer's character as well.
Well, does he really? Or does he just use her?
Okay, we'll leave that up to the listeners to watch the movie and figure out for themselves.
Now, Allie, you like this film.
Well, okay, so...
Or an aspect of this film.
Well, so for those of you who may not know, if I have not yet expressed it, I kind of idolize and worship Michelle Pfeiffer, so it's pretty challenging for me to find a film that I don't like that she's in.
Wolf.
I'll even watch Wolf, sorry. And now, this film does not have the same place in my heart as Grease 2, but it is an admittedly not great film that I do like.
Okay, a guilty pleasure.
And as we have discussed a couple of times on the show, and I'm starting to wonder if that's the only thing I talk about on this show, this does have my number two favorite sex scene of movies in it.
So, number two in Tequila Sunrise. What's number one?
Roadhouse.
Oh, okay.
We've already talked about Bull of Durham, but I wasn't on the Patrick Swayze episode, so that's why I didn't get to share it there.
Gotcha.
So now everyone knows way too much about me.
One of your favorite sex scenes is in the movie.
It is. Tequila Sunrise. But I think that there are some endearing parts of it, and I think that it's actually handled fairly. Some of the relationships are handled fairly realistically.
Okay.
Even though there is a number of far-fetched things in the plot.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, that works. Okay, shall we get into recasting?
Yes.
Yes, we shall. All right, so first up is going to be Dale Mac McCusick, played by Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson was 32 at the time. And my actor, I will go first. My actor was in a movie called Brokeback Mountain. He was also in Donnie Darko. And recently in the movie Velvet Buzzsaw, his name is Jake Gyllenhaal. Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be my Mac McCusick.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
I shopped him.
Interesting.
For this part. I have a theme for mine.
Do it.
And I'm going to see if you can guess
my theme. Okay, sounds good.
It's deliciously delightful.
Mm. Don't give it away.
Delicious dish.
I'm not.
All right, so.
It's deliciously delightful, everyone.
My pick
you should
for,
pay close attention to these picks.
My pick for Mel Gibson's McCusick. He was in The Ides of March.
Okay.
I believe that is a Gosling flick with
George Clooney.
George Clooney, thank you. He was in The Darkest Hour. Mm-hmm. He was in Horns.
Oh.
With Harry Potter.
Okay.
He was also had a very small
Daniel
part.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yep.
He had a very small part in The Social Network. His name is Max Minghella.
Max Minghella.
Minghella.
Minghella. Okay.
Max Minghella.
All right. Interesting.
He's, by the way, he is 33. He'll be 34 later this year.
Okay. Max, huh? All right. Okay, moving it to the next one. Michelle Pfeiffer's character was Joanne Vallinari.
Unrecastable.
I would tend to agree with you. I think she's great also. Just a classically beautiful, all-around awesome lady. And did you know that she was in a long-term relationship with Fisher Stevens?
Yes.
That's to me is crazy. His head is entirely too big for his neck. And Sean, will you go first with your Joanne?
I will. My Joanne is 30, going to be 32 this year.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh.
That has nothing to do with my theme. She was in Across the Universe. She was in the movie 13.
Hmm.
She's in the movie Whatever Works. And more recently, she's been in the TV series Westworld.
Evan Rachel Wood.
Evan Rachel Wood.
Got it. Okay. So, Evan Rachel Wood. I'm not picking it up yet. Okay. My Michelle Pfeiffer is going to be played by an actress who's 33 now. She is in both of the Mamma Mia movies, Mamma Mia and Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again. She's also in Mean Girls, and she was in Ted 2. Her name is Amanda Seyfried. Amanda Seyfried is going to play the Joanne Vallinari character.
I like
character.
That pick. I think I've actually recast her for...
Oh, really? For Michelle Pfeiffer?
For Michelle Pfeiffer in a previous episode.
She's of Eastwick or something?
So, yeah, I think that was correct.
You know, when you do enough of these recasts, sometimes you have to delve back into the well again.
Folks got to work, man.
Yeah.
Well, she does have a little face value, and she's good.
Yeah. All right, the man of the hour, Kurt Russell as Lieutenant Nick Freysha. He's so fresh, so clean.
Freysha.
All right,
I think
so
it's Freysha, but
my
also
turn
think
to go first. I went with an actor. I actually switched. I flip flopped one of my actors from the first movie and moved them to this, and moved somebody from this movie into the other movie. So originally, I had Channing Tatum in the Kurt Russell role, but instead, I went with an actor who was in The Invitation. He's also in Prometheus. He's in a movie called Quarry, and he's one of Sean's buddies. His name is Logan Marshall Green.
Oh.
Logan Marshall Green is going to be my Lieutenant Nick
LMG.
Freska.
Logan Marshall Green has just finished directing a film.
Oh, really?
Starring, I wish I'd sent that to you. It could have made movie news. Anyway,
movie news.
I'll look him up while we're talking. Cool. He's so good. Upgrade.
He's 42 now.
Upgrade was such a... Good
with
movie.
Two D's for a double dose of his pimpin'.
All right, so my pick, he is going to be 33 this year. And he was also in The Social Network.
Hmm.
He was one of the Winklevoss twins.
Oh.
Stop. Ooh. Don't. He was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He was in Call Me By Your Name and the very failing Lone Ranger, Armie Hammer.
Ah, heir to the Arm & Hammer baking soda fortune.
Exactly.
Okay.
Not true.
So I'm trying to figure this out. You've got that first guy, then you've got Evan Rachel Wood, and now you've got Armie Hammer. Still don't have it.
You won't get it, I don't think, but...
All right, next up. I will go first again so that you can save your final pick and see if I can...
The movie that Logan Marshall Green has just recently directed, by the way, is called Adopt a Highway.
Okay.
And it is starring Ethan Hawke.
Interesting. What's the genre?
An ex-felon discovers a live baby left in a dumpster.
Drama.
It's drama.
Yeah, that's drama for sure.
Drama.
Save the drama for your prama. So the next role that we're going to recast is the role of Comandante Xavier Escalante. He is
Escalante.
Xavier Escalante, and he is the head of the Federales, and he is pretty sure that there's a big shipment coming in, and that Mac is going to be involved with that. So he's kind of part of that pressure to investigate him too.
He's really tight with the DEA.
Yeah. And so Raul Julia played him originally. He was 48 at the time. My actor is 52 now, a little bit older. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy. He was in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. And recently in Sicario, I went with Benicio del Toro.
Very nice. Very nice.
Is it Excelente?
Pretty damn Excelente. So Raul Julia was 48 at the time. So I went with someone who will be turning 48 this year. This one's a bit of a stretch.
Okay, for your theme?
Well, no, it's spot on for my theme, but it is a bit of a stretch as the recast, but I believe he can do it. He was in an episode of The Simpsons.
Ooh.
He was in the movie Hugo. He was in the movie Les Miserables.
Hmm.
He was in
Amanda Seyfried?
He was in Anchorman 2. He was in Alice Through the Looking Glass.
No idea.
Then the giveaways start happening. He was in Talladega Nights. He was in Bruno and Borat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Okay.
Cohen.
What did I say?
You said Cohen.
Okay. Cohen. Cohen. And Wood.
I'll give you one. We'll give you a little hint.
Yes.
This casting is a direct jab at Mel Gibson.
Okay, so they're all Jewish?
Yes.
Okay. It's funny because I almost earlier said, we didn't even really mention any of the controversy around Mel Gibson, but that is well-turned
alleged,
soil.
Alleged anti-Semite.
Yeah. Mel Gibson. Well, his dad was like a Holocaust denier, like outspoken about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
To all the people in the tribe, that's for you.
Very good. All right. So that will finish us up with the recasting of Tequila Sunrise. Should we give it a recommend or not?
Well, I recommend it.
Recommend it. Yeah. At least one scene of it you recommend quite a bit.
I do recommend the movie. It's not it's not one that you have to see, but
it's a movie you can watch.
It's an enjoyable way to kill an evening.
You can watch it in the background.
Evening, yeah.
You don't have to, because it's very easy to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. So, and there's some pretty people, and the story makes sense, and, you know, and there is an interesting little twist to it, and...
So a soft recommend.
Soft recommend. Like, don't run out and watch it, but...
Right now.
You know, don't turn it off if it's on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that will wrap us up on the recast continued, and moves us into our final segment, the bonus segment here. At the end of the show, and this week we're going to be doing a battle royale, and this battle royale is going to be between Kurt Fuller, Kurt Russell, and Russell Crowe.
Could you have found a worse picture of Russell Crowe?
Well, he was making fun of himself about his new beard and how it basically alters his appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was important next to the picture of Kurt Russell,
which is also pretty ridiculous,
with his big facial hair. And then I don't think I've ever seen Kurt Fuller with a beard, but we're gonna
I think he had a goatee in a role.
Think about the hypothetical battle royale here between these Kurtz and Russells, and decide who would win in a fight to the death between these folks. And Allie, since you're the guest, you can go first on this.
Kurt Russell. Sorry, I just think that Kurt Fuller. I think he'll try, but I think he'll eventually give up.
Mm-hmm. He'll get frustrated.
And I think that Russell Crowe is a lot more talk than action.
Well, he throws phones.
Yeah, but Kurt Russell could dodge those and then turn around and use them as a weapon. No, Kurt Russell wins.
You know what movie Kurt Fuller was in?
What?
We were talking earlier when we were filling Allie in on who Kurt Fuller was. He was in the Hulk Hogan wrestling movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Body Slam?
Yeah, Body Slam.
No, Body Slam
or Over the Top. Other... Which one was it?
Over the Top is an arm wrestling movie.
Oh, that's right.
The Hulk Hogan one.
Was slept alone.
Anyway, we've slept since then.
Yeah.
But Kurt Fuller, of course, was the sleazy manager in Wayne's World.
And he was also in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And he was in Miracle Mile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I think that he's got some sleaze factor. He could probably do some underhanded backstabbing to give himself an advantage. But I don't think that that's going to win out when you've got the gladiator.
Uh-oh.
Oh, he's not.
Are you not entertained?
But that was many, many moons ago.
Many moons.
I don't think that he's got what it takes. I think that, I think Kurt Russell's going to win this one.
In okay.
The end. Just his guile and cunning, and he's seen shit. Bone Tomahawk alone. I mean, he's gritty. I think Kurt Russell.
All right, I think you're probably right. I did want to mention, I just heard that Kurt Fuller is going to be replacing Aunt Becky on Fuller House. between these three, I think you guys are right. I think that we're going to have to go with Kurt Russell. He's going to take his handlebar mustache and he's going to choke the people out with it.
He's a fucking planet.
Yeah, he's definitely...
He's a planet, man. His ego.
I just don't think that you could have come up with a battle royale that Kurt wouldn't have won. I mean, maybe you could have, but it would have been rough.
Bridges. What about Kurt Russell versus Jeff Bridges?
You'll just get him drunk.
Which one?
See, I think Russell gets stronger when he's drinking.
Russell Crowe?
No, Kurt Russell.
Cameron Crowe. Counting Crows?
Black Crows.
All right, so I think we came to our first unanimous opinion on the Battle Royale. So happy birthday to you, Kurt Russell. I hope that you enjoyed that that spiritual victory and also
hypothetical win.
Whenever you're listening to this episode, make sure you tell Goldie to give it a listen also, and probably Wyatt and what's her name.
I don't know, but...
Goldie Hawn's daughter.
Oh, Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson. Have them give it a listen and just tell all of their friends about it.
We should also mention that we gave ourselves the difficulty level of no Wyatt Russell
recast. Yeah, we did. Yeah, no low-hanging fruit on that one. So we want you to keep the Podsy scheme going and tell all your friends about us. Rope them in. Okay, so with that, we are going to go ahead and wrap up this show. Allie, I want to thank you for being
You're
here.
Welcome.
Merrick Allie.
Merrick Allie.
And thank you for putting up with all of this nonsense. Is there anything that you want to plug?
April 13th, 14th, and 15th, I think. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Francis Marion University will be doing a production of Dog Sees God.
Okay.
It is a student-directed piece on our main stage, and it's free. It's at 7:30 every night. Come on out and join us.
Did the dyslexic, agnostic, insomniac stay up all night wondering if there is a dog?
Yes.
And also, I want to plug the podcast itself. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcatcher it is that you're listening to us on. We could really use that feedback. We're also hosted natively online. If you don't have a podcatcher, you can just listen to us on Podbean. We are Cinema Chop Shop on podbean.com. Our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop, and our Facebook name is facebook.com/CinemaChopShop. And of course, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. We frequently check that. And finally, the beer that we checked in today, and each week we check those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. It's kind of like a social network for beer. And I want to thank the engineer. Thank you, Sean, for doing what you do.
My pleasure.
Anything that you want to plug?
I plugged it last week, which was the live podcast that will be recorded at...
Yeah, that is exciting.
...at Seminar Brewing, that's seminarbrewing.com, on March 28th, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we still have Right Answers with Wrong Travis.
Just 2 weeks left in this tournament.
Yep. Are we going to do a hiatus?
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I also would like to plug the drink, the Tequila Sunrise. It is quite delicious. If you have not had one and don't know what it is, it's about a shot of tequila, and then you put orange juice on top, and then you put in a little grenadine, which sinks to the bottom and gives you that sunrise color.
Or it's quite you just drink the tequila until the sun comes up.
That's not a Tequila Sunrise, but that sounds delightful as well.
Sean, what's next week's episode?
I don't know, Travis. What is it?
The films of Steve McQueen.
Oh, my God.
The films of Steve McQueen is coming up next week. Holy shit. Looking
Wild
forward
Horses
to that.
Wild Horses could not keep Sean away.
And then beyond that, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in this week and checking out what we did. And please remember to watch chop, retrofit.
Retrofit. Tip your bartender.